Hello, and welcome to SciLight, a daily free podcast exploring the coolest bits of science and technology. I'm Jongmin Park, and today I'll be talking about an awesome gadget at the top of my Christmas list. Is it a bird? Is it a plane? No, it is a drone. That's right. Consumer drones are becoming increasingly popular, and the Consumer Technology Association estimates that around 400,000 drones will be sold this holiday season. When we hear about drones in the news, it's mostly flying robots dropping bombs on people. But not all drones are for the military. Civilian drones are being used for all sorts of things, from precision agriculture to search and rescue. You can think of them as mini aircrafts that can perform the same tasks as helicopters, except they're so much cheaper and easier to use. And you don't have to put a human inside either. Let's say you need to collect data from a hazardous environment. Deploying a drone with a camera would be a much safer alternative to sending people and risking their lives. As the drone industry grows, many drone enthusiasts and hobbyists are starting to build their own drones. In fact, BU students in the Unmanned Aerial Vehicles team, or the UAV team, do it all the time. I'm talking to the Vice President of the UAV team, Nick Brusco, to find out more about what drones can do. So Nick, could you please tell us what exactly is a drone?
Our definition of a drone, and what a UAV is any aircraft without a human pilot on board. And that encompasses anything from like a little desk toy, a little helicopter thing, to a full-size like military drone, like a Reaper or Predator or something. And they can be either autonomous or remotely controlled. So we do work with both on the UAV team.
And these unmanned aircrafts are being applied everywhere. What are drones used for?
The first and most obvious use of drones, and this is kind of like, again, why they've gotten a negative connotation right off the bat, is they were used in military applications first. That's just the way technology usually works, is first things get developed for the military, and then it gets trickles down into, you know, civilian life. So the military is using drones for surveillance for a long time, for strikes as well. And obviously for the military, that has advantages over using manned aircraft. You know, somebody on board, the plane can be lighter, longer flight time. You're not putting humans at risk. More recently, non-military applications have been gaining traction. Traditionally, they've received less press because headlines, negative headlines about drones kind of receive more attention. But today, drones are being used in all sorts of fields that they've never been used in before. So of note, aerial photography probably came around first. So you can get some beautiful shots from the air. In the past, you'd have to do something like that with a helicopter. And so obviously using a drone is a lot cheaper and easier. You don't have to worry about the gas or paying somebody to fly it. Other things that drones can be used for is crop monitoring, searches and rescues. Interestingly, they're starting to be used for spotting sharks, where there's surfers. Package delivery, research. The NOAA uses drones to monitor hurricanes, actually. They can be used for animal protection, too. One of the first projects I worked on when I joined the team when I was a freshman was a fixed-wing aircraft that would fly over the wilderness and use an infrared camera to find rhinos and hopefully protect them from poachers.
Ooh, now that's cool. Are there other projects the UAV team is working on?
Projects right now are a battery swapper. So basically a platform where a drone can land on it and have its battery autonomously switched out. This would enable it to like keep flying without any human intervention at all. Alternative controls is another advanced project. So traditionally, a UAV is controlled remotely using a transmitter, and that's pretty basic. Alternative controls focuses on other ways of controlling it. For example, using gloves, you know, wiggling your fingers to control the drone. Even brain control, where you would be controlling the drone with your brain. Mobile capture is another one. This is an aerial photography project. It's an autonomous UAV that is going to have the capability of following a target. So picture having a car drive and having a drone follow it, filming it.
Introducing drones to society brings up many ethical concerns regarding safety and privacy. The camera on your drone was used to save rhinos from poachers, but what if some creep decided to use his drone for peeping into my window?
I kind of respond to this with some skepticism. First of all, anybody who's ever flown a drone knows that it's really not that easy. It's not a very stable platform. The cameras you use and the transmission you get are pretty low resolution. Honestly, if somebody had the goal of it violating somebody's privacy, they'd be much better off using a camera with like a telescoping lens. So using a drone for that would actually cause more trouble than it'd be worth. And second of all, I would personally say to punish the crime, not the vehicle by which the crime was committed. If somebody is using this to violate somebody's privacy, charge them with violating that person's privacy. Don't try to take drones out of the hands of citizens because they can be used for violating privacy. You wouldn't, you know, make cars illegal because somebody could park their car in a parking lot and violate somebody's privacy. So I think apply the same thing to drones.
As drone parts become more accessible and easier to assemble, people are worrying about drones falling into the wrong hands. I mean, what if a terrorist decided to build a drone?
How do we prevent drones being used by terrorists? And the answer is, there's really not much you can do to stop somebody from building a drone. Right now, we live in a time where you can go to the store and for a few $100s buy a decent-sized drone. If you wanted to build one yourself, it would be cheaper. You can make it bigger. You can have all these specifications that you want. Build it to whatever spec you want. We're never going to really see a time. Like, if somebody wants to build a UAV, they can. And I don't see that as a problem. You know, if somebody wanted to build a car, they can. We give them enough know-how and give them the right materials. Probably a lot easier to build a drone. Actually, definitely a lot easier to build a drone. I do it every day. Again, this is a case of punishing the crime, not the means by which the crime is committed. So I'm going to go back to the car analogy. If a terrorist used a car to blow up a building, you know, a car bomb to blow up a building, you wouldn't ban cars. No. So same thing with drones. We haven't seen a terrorist attack with drones. I don't think we will because they're pretty niche right now. But if we were to see that happen, I think banning drones would be a huge step in the wrong direction, and you'd be stopping a lot of the good potential that drones have just because of one bad thing that happened. That's pretty much unavoidable. And even if you were to ban drones, how would you enforce that when these things can be built out of basic parts in a basement with instructions you can find on the internet for under a few $100s? So I don't see that being feasible.
And that's also what makes the drone an extremely disruptive technology. But there must be an ethical framework followed by the drone developers and enthusiasts alike. How is the civilian use of drones regulated?
Regulations are just now starting to come into place. As with most new technologies, government guidelines kind of lag behind the technology progressing. Now that we're reaching a point where they're exploding in popularity, we're starting to see the FAA come out with new guidelines. Right now for hobbyists, they don't have any laws, they just have guidelines. So their guidelines are currently fly under 400 feet. You have to fly line of sight. And what that means is you can't actually fly the UAV through the eyes of the UAV, as in you can't put a camera on there and wear video goggles and fly it that way. Another guideline is not endangering the public, basically. You don't want to do that, and they don't let you do that.
I'll keep those guidelines in mind when I fly my drone on Christmas. Thank you. That was Nick Brusco from the College of Engineering. If you'd like to find out more about the Unmanned Aerial Vehicles team, check out their website on bu.edu/UAV. That was the last episode of SciLight for this semester, and I'll be back with more awesome science in 2016, so stay tuned. Thank you for listening, and happy holidays.